Daryl R., and the topic is In the Attic, and he is from the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. Here's Daryl.
My name is Daryl. I'm an addict. First, I'd like to just thank God, first and foremost. Second, the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And last but not least, each and every one of y'all. I give my strength and hopes in recovering addicts to make Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I'd like to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Area Convention Committee for allowing me to come down here in Ocean City, Maryland, and share my experience, strength, and hope on any addict. I'd like to just personally thank the program committee for thinking of an addict like me who periodically, and I'm not saying it as far as grandiose, I'm saying as far as like I do this a lot. And I don't know why God uses me as a vessel to do it, but I'm all right doing it. Because in my Just for the Day, it talks about two topics that's dear to me. One is about sharing. One of our Just for the Days talk about sharing. And another one talks about being ourselves. And he was just talking about it. And our basic text talks about it also, being ourselves. It says that our real value lies in being ourselves. And if we trying to be anyone else other than ourselves, we're going to get caught up in trying to impress you and lose yourself. Yeah. And I've done that a lot since I've been here in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm from the capital area of Narcotics Anonymous in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I'm just 3.5-4 hours up the road on 83 North. I come to Ocean City, Maryland periodically every year. I love Ocean City, Maryland Convention. One thing that really takes me out the most about this convention is that you get an opportunity to see some people from other areas where you might attend conventions at, out of state, and you'll see them here in Ocean City, Maryland. And one thing that really takes me out the most about it, and I'm going to get to the any addict, but really takes me out is that when I travel all over this United States, and sometimes I only have to be up here at the podium, because you got to be real careful sometimes when you take on a commitment and then when you come up here to share it. And then when you share it, take guess what? They'll say something about what you shared. I'm not talking about the other recovering addict. I give you a prime example, and I'm going to get to. I had an opportunity to share for my sponsee who happens to be with me. I'm down here with my sponsee. And he said, Sponge, you need to get out of the area. You need to come on and share your experience, strength, and hope down here because something personally is going on in my life. And I wasn't going to make this commitment because I have another commitment from my area. We have a big unity day that's going on today. And what happened, he asked me to share up there on We Do Recover. But he asked me to share here on Any Attic. So I had to make a decision. And the decision was not really hard to make. What it was that was I all right with as far as which one to make. And the one that hurts me the most is when you think you're supposed to make the right one, you make the wrong one. When you make the wrong one, you think it's the wrong right one. So this is the right one. This is the right one. Because right where I'm at, I need to let other recovering addicts know, irregardless what might be going on in your life, you just don't have to use. Now, this is an early morning hit. And the whole thing is that what I've done and what I have always done as far as whenever I have a commitment to share early in the morning is that I have to get in a state of peace with the God of my understanding to ask him to do something for me that for me not to think as far as I'm coming up here pimping his mic. Mm-hmm. Nah, I ain't here for that. Mm-hmm. Look, man, I got some personal stuff going on in my life. Man, I just left Detroit, Michigan. As far as Easter weekend, I had an opportunity to share in Detroit, Michigan. And now here I am 2 weeks later here in Ocean City, Maryland. And last week I was just over Jersey. And next month I'll be in North Carolina. So the whole thing is like, Daryl, what is really going on in your life to make you like, what's really going on? What's really going on like you chasing this thing? Well, what is going on outside? you trying to do as far as what you ain't really trying to deal with on the inside. So a dear friend of mine from Ohio always open up like this, and I like to just open up, and I asked him if I can do it, and he said, yeah, you can do it. It says in our introduction, it says, God grant us the knowledge that we might write according to your divine precepts, instill in us a sense of purpose, make us servants of your will, and grant us a bond of selflessness, that this may be truly your work, not mine, in order that no addict anywhere need to die from the horrors of addiction. He always called that his recovery prayer. And he also said, anything that occurs in the course of NA, I'm talking about service, must be motivated by the desire to carry a message, a successful message, to the addict who still suffers. And I also know what the group pamphlet says. The group pamphlet says that addicts are willing to drive long distances to carry this message. For real. And it's some, look, Joe from the Mile High area, Denver, Colorado. Look, we ain't driving no more. We flying. Yeah, we flying. We flying carrying this message now. Narcotics Anonymous is constantly on a change. It's constantly changing. We have to be up with the change that's happening. Because, look, man, and we all heard it, and I don't know if y'all know, as far as a dear friend of mine from Chicago and a dear friend of mine from Detroit, they talking about how the disease has mutated. Meaning that it has changed, and if you ain't up with the change, it'll get you. For real. And my dear friend also, you know, Charlie C. from Detroit said, look, I remember him saying it. He said, you can only wear a mask for so long. For real. He was just talking about that. And I was like, man, what's really going on with Daryl R.? So I had an opportunity to be in Detroit, something real dramatic happened in my life, horrific. And it had to do with, as far as my marriage. And I'm not here to talk about it. I'm here to let you know, like, that Easter weekend, I went through a trying time, and I still made it to Detroit, Michigan, to share my experience, strength, and hope. And the whole thing is that when I got back home, things had changed. She made a decision. And look, I always share this. And it's part of my fifth step that I share with my sponsor. I'm talking about the exact nature of my wrongs. You good sharing ass up and down I-95, Pennsylvania Turnpike, 83 South ass motherfucker. Sharing all over the United States, sharing every motherfucker where. You need to share the exact nature. Look, man, I see three people that I know personally in here that they know my story. I don't do too much fronting. Look, man, I have the ability to be honest and be all right with what, how my life has turned out because it's what I've done to it. It ain't what somebody else done to it. It's what I've done to it. Look, ma'am, I have a wife, man, that's a sergeant first class in the United States military. She got a degree, and she got a motherfucker, another degree that's great come up as far as she a hairdresser. Check this out. And I'd rather have somebody else other than that. Nah, for real. I'm talking about how my standard of living had went from here to here. Meaning that, look, when she said it's time for me to do something different, I said, shit, you trying to do something different? What you trying to do different? Shit, I don't want you to do nothing different. I want you to continue to let me do what I'm doing. Oh, no, you're not going to continue to do what you're doing. Because know what? It's hurting me. Yeah, it's hurting me. And it all started when, and I'm not talking about it, but it hurt it as far as when it came from the financial aspect. You'll know as far as where your marriage or your relationship is when it comes to finances, intimacy, and most important, communication. When you ain't talking, look, I can be in your company and be quiet. I'm talking about I can stuff some stuff and be all right. And the whole thing is, all I'm doing is enduring the pain. Because I had the inability to let you know how I'm feeling. And if I let you know how I feel, the whole thing is that you ain't going to like me. So what I would rather do, I would rather buy you. Yeah. I have done that many a times in Narcotics Anonymous. So check this out. Let's talk about the attic. Any attic. Our fifth tradition says it. It talks about our message. What is it about our message? The message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose his desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope, and our promise is freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry this message to the addict who suffers. Because why? That's all we got to give. So I give it away. So my sponsor tell me some stuff. Look, I want you to get a sponsor. Y'all tell us this in Narcotics Anonymous. Get a sponsor, get a home group, get in service, work the steps. You do that. Participate in your recovery. And I'm not saying that you don't get good at it, but some people do get good at what they do as far as in recovery. Because recovery is about change. And the whole thing is that I've changed from the person I used to be, and now you upset because I'm doing what Narcotics Anonymous is telling me to do. Why you mad at me because I enjoy doing what I'm doing? It's because probably you ain't doing it. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah. For real, I sponsor some men in recovery. And I ain't saying that I'm the iron rod type of guy, but the whole thing is, I don't play with my recovery. Look, man, I come from a place, look, man, I heard Joe when he was talking about, look, man, I'm talking about, man, I'm dealing with adolescent issues right now in this 49-year-old body. I'm talking about, man, deep-rooted stuff that has been dug, and not dug out yet. I'm telling you, man, look, to a point as far as now it's starting to surface and it's coming out that it got me in counseling. For real. I'm talking about individual counseling. I ain't talking about relationship marriage counseling. I'm talking about individual counseling. Look, man, I remember as a little child going to school. And I used to wonder why everybody was getting on the yellow bus, the big, long yellow one. And I had to get on the little, short yellow one. And my mom used to tell me, you special. I know what special was. Look, man, your ass is bad. It's that plain and simple. Your ADD, I know what ADD was or ADHD. Your ass was just bad. We ain't had them medical terms back then in the 60s. Attention deficit disorder, attention hyper disorder, you know, bipolar and all the other stuff, manic depression and all that. Your ass is bad. Plain and simple. For real. And what takes me out the most is that when I share it, you just like me. But I'm not saying that you keep it to yourself. The whole thing is, I have to be honest to let y'all know who I really am. And I ain't got no problem letting nobody know who I am. The problem is that will you still accept me for who I am? See, I ain't got no problem letting nobody know that I lied, that I stole, that I cheated. I'm not saying that what you've done, I'm talking about what I've done. And then you get mad at me because I get honest to let you know what I'm doing. And you have the inability to let me know what you're doing. But you want to hear what I'm doing. But you won't let me know what you're doing. Nah, for real. You know, we become relationship experts. We become motherfucking relationship therapists. We become marriage counselors all up in here. Well, goddamn, I ain't the only one that's going through something. For real. Now, I know the part I play in it. For real. But the whole thing is that I ain't happy. Now, that might be a shock to some people. It ain't a shock to me. Look, man, look, I'm talking about, look, I ain't saying Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I'm talking about I live right a little outside of Harrisburg, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I remember I came to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania by the Department of Corrections. They said you are not allowed to go back home where you from. You got to stay here. Now, that's a shame that you get put out of a city from where you from. Now, you must have really done something real bad. And I did do something real bad. For real. And that's where I've been at for the last 16 and a half years. And it has been rocky for me. So just so happened, and I'm going to get some more into who's an addict or any addict, but I'm talking about I never grew up thinking that I was an addict. Look, although my mother sold drugs, although my mother used drugs, although I used drugs with my mother, although my mother died as a direct result of the disease of addiction, my father died as a direct disease of the exact nature of this disease. And also my sisters and my brothers. I'm a product of a family that used drugs together. Now that might sound shocking to y'all, but shit, look, man, I'm talking about, look, I sat down at the same table that my mother sat down, and my aunts and cousins and all of them sat down, and we smoked coke together. And then my mom died. I said, damn, I got to stop doing this. If this shit kills you. But I didn't. I went to the bitter end. What's the bitter end? Jails, institutions, and a spiritual death. That's how far I went. And then the whole thing is, I'm in Detroit, Michigan, sharing on the willingness to recover about as far as the part I played in, as far as why things ain't the way they are. And the whole thing about it is that, look, I said to myself, what is wrong with me? I'm talking about my value system. How do I value me? What's going on with me? Why I can't do me? Why I got to allow you to do you? You take from me, I give to you, and you don't appreciate it. Boy, that's one of the worst things you want to do, to give somebody something they don't appreciate it. I'm talking about even a thank you. And I ain't just talking about females. I'm talking about my inability to be all right with who I am because I think I always need someone on my side or on my hip. For real. So I had shared in Detroit that something had happened to me. My wife made a decision as far as they're like, excuse my language, get the fuck out. You got to go. And boy, how many times I've been put out. Ain't it a trip that you can build somebody something, give somebody something. I'm talking about from car to furniture to clothes to money and everything. And say, guess what? They still put your ass out. So she put me out. No, I'm not. I'm just sharing it. Look, man, this ain't just one woman. This just ain't two women. This ain't just three women. This is multiple women I have done this with. And then I need to say, damn, is something wrong? Shit. Do I got sucker written across my motherfucking head or something? Do I got, I'm weak or something? And I can't even share some of the stuff I have done in selling drugs and stuff that I have done to other individuals. And then when I start using it, and then it became an object as far as concerning what I needed to do, and then it became real horrific, and then all of a sudden it sent me to a place. Look, man, I used to say this all the time, and I don't really like talking about it too much, but I'm serious, and it still haunts me today. I said it to my brother. He lived in Chicago, Illinois. When I was in Detroit 2 weeks ago, when I was sharing, he had called me. And he had said, man, where you at? I said, I'm in Detroit sharing. He said, do me a favor. He said, do me one thing. And I said, what, bro? He said, be honest. Let them know who you are. And just let them know that you can get a breakthrough. Now, I don't know what that breakthrough is. Because when I got back from Detroit, like I said, she said, get the fuck out. And that wasn't no breakthrough. So I'm talking about my standard of living. I'm talking about, look, man, some people know where I live at and how I live. I'm talking about, man, I got a 2013 outside. I'm talking about I drove it off the showcase floor. Look, man, look, I'm going to keep you this plain simple. I'm unemployed. I'm a construction worker. I'm unemployed. And the whole thing is, I'm saying what she was willing to do for me in spite of how, as far as what she said, as far as when we went down the aisle and said, I do. She said, Dura, when you say I do, you said to me and you and to God. You didn't say the N.A. I said, I know. It switched. Shit switched around here, don't it? In the beginning, it's all good. Then the second part, you're starting to see shit. The third part, oh, shit. You start to question yourself. Did I make the right move? Did I make the right decision? So her military male friends tell her, you made a wrong decision to marry that thug. And I got all these booze in archives now. I'm saying, hey, Daryl. Yeah, for real. What's up with you? I'm talking about waiting in line. I'll be like, man, what's going on with me? I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the literature said. It says that we have become experts in self-deception and rationalizing. For real. Let's face it. When we was using, we had the inability to be honest. They said that one of the greatest prisons that you can live in your life is what you feel that other people think of you. How other people think of you. That's what I still go through. How you see me. What's wrong with you just being you? Why are you always trying to be somebody else other than yourself? The Edward Hein Y talks about the disease of addiction can manifest itself in very mental obsessions and compulsions that has nothing to do with drugs. So you ain't suffering from a damn drug problem. You suffering from some stuff that you have yet to address. So what I haven't addressed yet, the inability to be with self. Yeah. Thinking that if you don't want me or if you don't be with me, I ain't worthy. I'm talking about how I can devalue my own self. I don't need nobody else to tell me you ain't shit. You ain't nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. But the God of my understanding say, look, let them say what they want to say. I know what I'm doing with you. And that's all that should matter to you. I was like, whoa, I'm talking about as far as I was just with my sponsee. And we was just talking about that this morning. How we always want to do something to please somebody else. And you can't even get it in return. I was like, man, something the fuck's going on. For real. So now, my value system had changed. My lifestyle has changed. Look, man, I went from a four-bedroom house to a room. Yeah. Sometimes God might have to break you down in order to build you back up. For real. So I'm being broken right now. I know what I'm going through. I'm talking about sometimes life have to turn you upside down in order for you to start living right side up. For real. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I know one thing what the literature also say. Like I said, developing a personal style and carrying this message rests on one requirement. We must be ourselves. For real. So I'm just being me. For real. But still, I get the chatter that's going on. You know what to do. Look, man, my therapist said, man, shit, you belong on this side. I belong over there where you at. Shit, you know the answer. You come every goddamn week for me to tell you what you know that you need to do? I don't fucking think so. Man, that program has done stuff for you, man, that you told me. What? You fly all over this United States sharing your experience, strength, and hope. You do H&I. You do service work. I'm talking about, man, I eat, sleep, drink. Look, man, me and some friends were drinking some coffee. They said, man, you don't do nothing but Narcotics Anonymous. That's all you do. You don't know nothing else. I said, damn. Is that really how you see me? For real. So as I said, I went to my sponsee celebration. I'm great close with this. And I was sharing. And a dude said, I heard you. Yeah, I heard you. I mean, he just came out of Celine, remember? Stan, he just jumped up and said, yeah, I heard you share before. And I was like, okay. I was just like, okay. He's like, nah, man. I had 6 months clean, man. And I was around some women. And I was trying to impress them. And I was sitting around 6 women. And you was up on the podium sharing your experience and hope. And you was talking about how your wife allowed you to go all over this place and this place and all this and that. And you know, you got this going on, this and that, and that, and that, and that. And he said, I had already formed of an opinion of you without even getting to know you. I said, what? He said, man, I already had formed an opinion of you without even getting to know you. How many of us in Narcotics Anonymous form opinions of people and don't even get the ability to know them? For real. So in closing, I always say this joke. It ain't a joke, it's a reality. And my sister over there is here, my sponsor, and my new friend from North Carolina. Thank you, Tom. I have to share this. I remember I was king for the day one day. One day, king for the day. And I was in the housing projects, and I had it going on. For real, I had it going on. And I had a young lady do something to me. I'm serious, man. We got to watch what we do around here in Narcotics Anonymous. I had a young lady do something to me that I know that I wouldn't even done it to my own self. Because I had what I had. And I never forget what she said to me. If I ever have an opportunity to do that back to you, I'm going to get you. I said, baby, that day ain't going to never come. She said, yeah, okay. Shit, that day came. I'm dusty, dirty, stinky, trifling. Don't even look the way I look now. I mean, I was trying to get one. And she come running down in the alley, down the street. And she said, come on, Daryl. And I said, whoa, me? Yeah, come on. And she had a bag in her hand. And she had that thing in her hand. You know that thing. She had that thing tight. And I was like, we went in the house. We paid the house. We had the room. And she gave me one. I'm telling you, look, man, I'm talking about she gave me one. It started all over. I'm talking about the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome. And she said, here, this for you. I'm talking about people don't give me nothing. I give people. I'm a giver. I attract takers. I'm the giver. She said, here. And I said, what's that? She said, it's for you. I brought that for you. I said, shit, I don't want that. She said, you want another hit? I said, yeah. She gave me another hit. Now I got two in the house. I think I'm like, great, get down. Like, we great, do something. And she said, put it on. I said, put what on? The present I brought you in the bag. I looked in the bag and I looked up at her. I said, you don't want me to put that on? She said, yes, I do. I said, you know who I am? I'm a gangster. I'm ferocious, macadocious. I rob, I burglarize. I'm all that in the bag of chips and all that. Take what she said. That's what you used to be. That ain't what you is now. Yeah. In other words, the trick became the trick. Yeah, she was tricking me. And she said, if you want to get high some more, you'll put that on. And I looked in the bag, and I said, I ain't putting that on. And she said, you ain't getting high no more. And I said, hold on, wait a minute. I looked again, and what was in the bag was a pair of panties and a bra. Yeah. And she said, if you want to continue to get high, you'll put it on. And I'm talking about how you would humiliate yourself. I'm talking about your value system was reduced. I'm talking about in order to get high, I had to put on a pair of panties and a bra. And tell you guess what? I put them on. Yeah. So what I say as far as when I share that, and we got high all night, I need to let y'all know that. What I say that for is to let men know that we ain't the only one when women share what they share, that we go through stuff too. And we have done some stuff. Because I hear women talking about what they had to do for one more. But I ain't saying I don't hear men talking about what they had to do for one more. But that's what I had to do for one more. I'm talking about in utter desperation. I'm talking about my, look, man, I was past being an addict. I had reduced myself to the animalistic level. And take what she said. Didn't I tell you I was going to get you back? I had forgot all about that shit. What I done to her. She said, see, what goes around comes around. For real. I'm serious, man. So that's what I'm saying today. I watch what I say and what I do to people because I don't want it to come back. Now, look, I'm going to get through what I'm going to get through. And the only reason why I'm going to get through it is because with y'all help, with other recovering addicts helping me get through what I'm getting through. Because, man, I'm telling you, it's nothing like a marriage, a separation, and pending divorce. It's nothing like it. It's mine's first experience. I had a beautiful wedding. It was military style and everything. The whole thing is, the disease said, know what? I know what's best for you. I said, shit, you don't know what's best for me because I don't sometimes know what's best for myself. Ain't that a trip? That you can have everything in life, all the luxuries, all the so-called materialistic stuff, and God said, know what? I'm still in charge. So that's what's going on. I think I'm going through a spiritual bankruptcy as far as not having the ability to trust God more because I'm doing my will, self-will, instead of his will. And he said, you know what? I might have to take some stuff from you to get your attention. And did he get my attention? Yes, he has. So look, I like to once again thank the Ocean City Convention Committee, especially the program committee, for allowing me to just give y'all a little bit of me. Because one thing I have come to understand is that we must be ourselves. For real. I real value lives in being ourselves. When the addict worked this program, wonderful things happen. Wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise. For real. I already know. For real. And I'm just having fun in the moment. And look, if nobody can tell y'all today they love y'all, I need to let y'all know I love y'all and thank y'all for allowing me to share.
Thank you.